Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Four Times in a Podcast. You join us on Thursday the 22nd of December. It's a little under 24 hours since Celtic were victorious at home against Livingston. They won the game 2-1. All the goals coming in the first half. It was an own goal that gave Celtic the lead. It was a cross in by Abada that was deflected in by Obelai. And then this was followed by a goal by our number 8, Kyogo, who put in from a similar position to the first goal, actually. And then just on the stroke of half-time, Livy pulled one back. And what was an entertaining first half, there was a few contentious moments in the second half, one in particular when Leo Abada's goal was disallowed for an offside that took the linesman, the referee, about 5-6 minutes to sort out. But we'll just get into it. Andy, I'll come to you first. You were there last night. What was your thoughts on being back at Celtic Park for the first time in 39 days, I think it was. I think that's how long it had been since the Ross County game. What was it like to be back in paradise, and what did you make of the performance?
It was good to get back to the club football. I enjoyed the World Cup, but obviously missed Celtic and missed the domestic games. But I enjoyed it for what it was, but good to get back finally and start off and at home, back to winning ways at home. I thought in the first half, we played pretty well, played much better in the first half than I thought we did in the second, barring that wee sort of moment after we scored the second and they make it 2-1 with the boy Devlin. But I thought we played pretty well in the first half, created a lot of chances, but it was the final third that was letting us down. Don't know how many balls were in the box, particularly coming across the front post, and there was nobody there. And I know Kyogo gets his goal for that, but honestly lost count of how many that happened to where there was nobody. I know we've spoke about it after and it's been mentioned in the press that there seemed to be a lack of one of the midfield three coming in, or coming in late, or just offering another option into the box. So it's maybe a few factors which have come into that. O'Reilly playing a different role, sort of the dynamic of the team changing, with obviously McGregor coming back, and lack of sort of domestic and competitive games. Maybe one of these things have played a factor. But the thing is, we were creating chances of some sort. As I say, it was just the final third. I thought we were letting ourselves down. I thought Abada had to beaten, I think it was the number 11, Montano. I think Abada had to beaten him every time. Boy just didn't want anything to do with him. Brought him down a few times. I think Abada, to be honest, was on the receiving end of 4 or 5 heavy challenges. I thought that was just a sign of how well he was playing. But on the other side, I thought Yota was poor. Maybe being a bit harsh saying poor, but I don't think he was great. He had, again, he was getting the beating of somebody and then the ball in, wasn't he? Wasn't he great? He didn't really create any massive opportunities for himself. So could have improved there. But aye, second half was really sluggish. I mean, you know what you're going to get with Livingston. They'll try and stifle you, make it a stinky play suit, try and nick something. Even at 2-0, they were never going to change how they were playing. They knew a goal would get them back in it. That's essentially what it done. It probably came a lot quicker than MD assumed it would. But aye, it was just to sort of hang in there as long as possible and try and nick something. And they were I wasn't in fear at any point, I would say. I don't really have that one under Ange, which is something that says a lot about the team. I didn't fear that there was going to be any massive collapse. I mean, I did fancy us to score again, which we will come on. Obviously, it's a big talking point about how long the ref took to chop our goal off and anything else. But it was a strange centre-half. I think we were pretty poor in the second half, if I'm being brutally honest about it. But we've seen it out, which is the most important thing. But I reckon a big factor is just it's our second competitive game back. Obviously, we went up to Pittodrie, played Aberdeen, get a 1-0 win, just back in. And I think a lot of people, me included, were probably thinking, right, come in and hit the ground running, particularly to get like the first home game back and hopefully dish out a bit of a doing. But it's just going to be hard push to do that against Livingston at any time, just the way they set out to play the game. And it's just one of these things. But gutted to see Ralston get down as well, just for a point of view that I thought he was playing fairly well when we took a couple of knocks. Then he took a sore one in the face, and it just seemed as if nothing could go right for him in terms of injuries. But I thought Taylor done well when he moved across. Hopefully Ralston's not out for a long term, because obviously Juranovic is still on arrest. The boy Johnston is only going to come in after the 1st of January, and you wouldn't like to think anybody's going to come in their first game at a brand new team and a brand new way of playing is going to be at Ibrox. But hopefully Ralston's all right. And then I think the boys that came on, Haksabanovic, was trying to make things happen. Don't think Tumble had the best of games, as I've mentioned to yous, and Giakoumakis was really too late to make any sort of impact. I would say, I think he only had 8 minutes, but I dare say we'll come on to him and what's happened on Twitter and things later on. But most important thing, Darren, is the 3 points in a bag, which I think was everybody would agree with that. And we move on. The games are coming thick and fast now with St Johnston, Hibs, and then Rangers sort of right after the new year. So the games are going to come thick and fast before we eventually go into a double header against Killy with the league and the League Cup. So glad to be back, glad to get the points on the board, and hopefully the team performances sort of come together a bit more and we look a bit more free flow. And I think it's just the final third door that we've let ourselves down a wee bit. And then again, the new boys will come in, and hopefully and one or two new signings as well. And the turn of the year will really make us click into gear.
Aye, hopefully, as you say, I think Pittodrie and last night it was all about getting the maximum points that we could, and we've done that. Like, as you say, it wasn't it's not a classic performance. You're not going to watch it back many times, I don't think, but it was a victory nonetheless. Like, the first half, I thought we were always in control, of course, but it was. I know Ange went on about it in his post-match press conference. It was, for me, I thought it was ridiculous. The amount of balls that were getting floated across or drilled across the Livy 6-yard box, and we didn't have anybody really attacking it. And I know some people will put that all down to your centre-forward, so Kyogo, but I think we're just really missing, like, that sort of driving midfielder who bursts into the box, who can sort of get a hand in that sort of aspect. But I thought we played well enough. We had a few decent spells of play, went 2-0 up, and you think, aye, it should be a pretty easy enough second half. But then we almost concede from kickoff, which I'm not lying, I've not watched the highlights, I've not seen it back, but it did seem to go in slow motion when Livy were putting that in. So obviously makes it a bit tighter because you're only get that one goal lead. But I just thought it was one of the games, like, I think one of you mentioned it on the pod the other day, like, against Livy you very rarely get pure demolitions or good games of football. Like, it's, we obviously drew not each for them last season at home as well. It's, they're always sort of tight games where they're just set up to defend, and it's like the Abada goal, like, I know we'll come on it in a minute, but I thought it was definitely deserved if it had stood. Like, I think our play really, we did dominate, and I wasn't overly worried with Livy because they didn't really get near our box too much to have us worried, and Celtic just kept going for the third goal. And like, I think there was times in injury time when a few fans' hearts were in their mouth when I think Starfelt was cruising into their half in the 94th minute or something, and then lost it, and you're obviously always worried that you might get caught in the counter. But I think just the way this team plays, they're literally never going to stop going for that goal to kill off the game. But I thought Abada was the one that came in. I think every one of us pretty much said that we thought he would come in. I thought he was brilliant in the first half. I thought he took his opportunity very well when he came off the bench at Pittodrie. I thought he was the best player in the second half for Celtic. And last night again, I know he got the sponsors money match. I thought he was really good, and I think he's played himself in a starting position going forward from Saturday as well. Obviously, as you mentioned, the Ralston one's a bit of a an issue because Juranovic is still in Croatia at the moment. I know on Tuesday Ange says that he's no due back till early next week, I think. So I think he'd be looking at Easter Road at the very, very earliest, and even then that might come too soon. And I know that's even before you consider whether he'll be sold on the stroke of midnight on Hogmanay, as some people seem to think. But Danny, what did you make it? As I said, games against Livia, very rarely pretty, and as Andy said, it was sort of last night, it was just about getting in our 3 points.
Aye, it was all about the 3 points last night. I think when we come back for the World Cup and I looked at the four games before Rangers, if you just take 12 points for there, we'll put ourselves in a good position. So we've got a six. We've got another six to come, hopefully. I thought the first half, they were really good. I thought they played with a good tempo. And the thing about the crosses going into the box today, that makes weeks anyway. But I thought they were really good in the first half. They were quite sharp. And you kind of got the sense if they got the early goal, they would get another couple, and then we should have been at 2-0 in front. I thought the first goal was a really good move. I thought the second goal was a great finish by Kyogo. I gave away a stupid goal, and then you go into 2-man, and it was kind of flat the second half. And I think it was flat because of that Livingston goal. And, you know, you think the whole thing about Abada, was he onside, was he offside? He's clearly offside when the ball gets played, but when the defender tries to heed it away and he does it straight to Abada, I think it renders him onside and he scores. But apparently the defender, it wasn't a deliberate, so who obviously didn't mean to heed the ball, but it was a deliberate action to heed the ball. Obviously didn't mean to give Abada, but who knows, these rules get made up. You always get the mythical explanation the next day for these people. But didn't he, wasn't he too worried? I just thought it was the second half was quite flat, and we could have been a wee bit better going forward in the second half. There was a wee bit lack of urgency maybe because they were 2-1 up, but I don't think the subs had the desired effect. I thought Burnaby looked good when he came on after an initial kind of getting used to the pace of the game. I thought he finished the game really strongly. I thought Taylor had a really good stint at right back. I mean, it's hard enough being the best left back at the club, but he might just be the best right back. Or maybe I'm just a bit biased. But I thought they were all right, darn. And it was Livingston. It's not, I never look forward to playing Livingston because, you know, I predicted a 6-0 or something, but you very rarely do take the goals afterward. They know how to defend and they operate their strengths, and we're worthy winners and we'll take the 3 points. And now you move on to Saturday, St Johnstone at home, and just another tick box, hopefully get another 3 points, and then Easter Road, which will be the biggest test before Ibrox, no doubt.
Aye, definitely. As you said, the four games before Ibrox, it was just pretty imperative that we did keep up the winning run we've been on. We've obviously only had that St Mirren game all season in the league that we've dropped any points, so anyone sort of will do it. I know December's usually a hectic month for us, and I know we've done play the first few weeks because of the World Cup, but it's going to end hectically as well. But Tony, what did you make of last night's game? I know Danny's mentioned it. There was obviously that sort of controversial call about Abada's goal, but what did you make of the game in general?
I thought first half we were good because I scored a lot more goals, but again, the finishing wasn't there, and usually we get the end of the crosses, and it took a while before we did. The first person to get the end of one was the own goal we scored, so I was just glad to get the win. It's a cold night in the middle of December. The games are just kind of tick boxes, especially after what happened on Tuesday night. I think most of us thought we were going to go further ahead, and Rangers scored 2 goals in the last 2 minutes of the game, so there was a bit of pressure on us, but I thought we responded well. Even at 2-1, they created absolutely nothing, which is a kind of similar theme for teams in Scotland. So still 9 points clear, and I think the goal difference is 17, so it's a massive bonus for us. And I just need one in Christmas Eve, and then hopefully get the win at Easter Road, and then you would go to Ibrox relatively pressure-free with all the pressure on them, because they would need to beat you just to cut it. So, yeah, it's still a bit of football to be played before we get there. But overall, happy with the result. But I think Anne said the performance wasn't where it needed to be, and they will make changes. So I can see probably made a start at the weekend and maybe a slight change in midfield as well.
Aye, I'm sure. Well, come on, it's St Johnstone game in a bit. But Andy, I'll bring you on. There's been a lot of talk about the Abada goal. What was your thoughts on it? And I don't know about you and other fans, but for me, the problem wasn't even necessarily the fact that the goal got disallowed, but it was the fact that you've got 3 or 4 officials in a wee office who can't decide it, whether it was offside or not, and then they had to get the ref involved, and obviously I genuinely did take about 5-6 minutes for them to get to that conclusion. And it's just, I don't know about you, but since VAR's come in, like, we've obviously won every game, so some people claim we can't moan, but it's just been ridiculous in every single game. And this was like this tool of VAR from the SFA, they actually brought it forward to bring it in. They were that confident that it was ready to go. And it's just, what's your thoughts on it in general?
Yes. As you've already said, that would be my point as well. It's not necessarily the decision that I'm massively bored, but obviously you want decisions to be right and all the rest of it. But the big thing is that the length of time it takes for officials in this country to make a decision is nothing short of a fucking disgrace. It's so incompetent in every level of the game. I mean, even, obviously I know they used a slightly different system for offsides in the World Cup, and again, this decision was slightly different, which I'll come on to, but in terms of the speed of decisions, when you looked at the World Cup for offsides, it was rapid. When then you look at the game here, even the World Cup, I'll use it just as a good point of reference, because I would say most people probably sat and watched it the last couple of weeks, but they then started incorporating because of to try and sort of nullify the time lost during game for things like decisions being made on VAR and subs and all the rest. They then add in massive chunks of time on at the end of games, and you're going to end up in that weird position, because listen, nobody wants to fucking get you extra time and you've got enough 12 minutes to come on to games, but that's the stage we're getting it when refs are taking 4 and 5 minutes to judge an offside call, where there's 3 supposedly trained officials sitting in a room watching it live, watching it back again, discussing it, watching it back again. Like, how many times do you need to see it when yous are supposed to be the experts on the rules of the game? Like, and then because none of them have got the ball to turn around and say, right, I'll make a decision on this, they then have to ask a ref to come out. If they had that much discussion to be had, then they should have said to the ref, right, go right away, cut out that whole fucking period in between. That's the most mental part of all this. If they can't make decision, why not just put it in the screen for the ref right away?
No, but how come they don't take 6 minutes when Hitati hits a shot at goal and the Livingston player leans into it and it hits his horn?
No, I'm not saying that.
Or when Michael Smith tries to catch a ball at Tynecastle, these don't take 5-10 minutes, these take 30 seconds.
That's the thing, and sometimes I don't even really think they check at times. Look, it's bizarre, to be honest, Danny, and again, I can't be bothered getting dragged into the old argument they're against us and all the rest of it. I just think they're incompetent in every single level, and I think it shows when you see decisions like that and how long decisions like that take. It's almost as if they're stuck in, oh, I don't know, but it's and things they miss during games and all the rest of it. Like, this was brought in, as Dan said, to bring it forward because they were so confident they could get this right and get it to work. And some people have always been sceptically, and you're in two minds whether you go, but if it's getting decisions right, then it's worth the time that it's taking. But it's not getting decisions right, because how many have we seen that's fucking making an arse here? And again, it's not just here. Like, cause I seen the thing the day about, it was like, the 6 biggest decisions VAR's got wrong in the Premier League, or some shite article I was reading earlier on the day. But it seems to be that up here, it's every single fucking game you're watching, somebody's made an arse here, or they've took 20 minutes to look at VAR screens and decide, oh, none of us three have got a fucking clue, so ref, you better go and do it, after sitting deliberating for X amount of time. And it kills everything. And the worst thing is, see, sitting as a fan at the game and you've not got a fucking clue what's going on. It's no other sport in the world works like that. Even the screen at Parky didn't even come up to say VAR review until the ref has went out of the wee screen. So what the fuck was it? What was happening before? Show it again, do something, so that the people who actually pay money to go and watch it understand what the fuck's going on. It's all just so disjointed, and I'm getting to the point now where I'm like, maybe they should just take it out until such times as they can get it on a level. Like if you look at any other sport in the world, fucking basketball, anything, they're so efficient with it, because it's transparent. It's completely transparent to the people who watch it. If you're in the fucking stadium, the arena, whatever, you know what's going on. You see it again. What the refs are talking about actually happens. So there's no time for refs to sit and make an arse and deliberate and get back and forth and have 3, 4, 5, 6 officials sit and making a call on it. It's just straight in the middle. And I'm getting to the point of where maybe you should just take it out, because it's no making decisions and cutting out mistakes. It's just, if anything, it's amplifying them, because you're seeing them. You're like, this cunt's seen this 3, 4, 5 times and he's still got it now. So what's the fucking point? There's no point in it. In the Abada one specifically, and what I thought is, it's an odd one, because again, I think the offside rule's a bit a weird one, and because it comes down to, obviously, if Abada's interfering with play first of all, and then second of all, if the defender's, is he made a pass, or is he trying to make an interception, and there's all these sort of peculiar rules, and I mean, the ref then, that's why they brought him out, because none of the officials in the VAR room wanted to make a call on what that happened. They didn't want that to fall on them if there was backlash against it, so they've put the ref into there. I really don't know where you go with that, but I mean, that decision itself, I've seen it stand, so from my interpretation of the rule around in football, it should probably have stood. As we were talking about in the chat earlier, Danny, there's been Mbappe that's done it. There's been a good few that have been referenced. I'm sure everybody's seen them all floating about in social media since the game about how that is the way the rules interpreted at the minute. And now these rules change all the time, as we've seen with handballs. I mean, I don't think fucking anybody knows a handball rule at the minute. Just make it up as you go along. But it has stood across football recently, so I think it probably should have gone after that in a similar vein with the handballs that have happened recently. Because of the way it happens in football currently, as the rule stands, I think it should have stand. But do I think that rule should be changed? Just similar to the Abada one, like he's in an offside position when it's happened, so he probably should be offside. I think it needs to be a bit more black-white to prevent situations like this, because it just kills the game. And it as a fan sitting at the game, it's fucking dire, especially when you don't know what's actually going on.
No, definitely. And as you say, Andy, you went on about the handball rule there. As far as I'm aware, it's the handball if the player's wearing green and white hoops, but otherwise, then it's not. But Danny, I'll come up. We'll move on from that. We'll move on to the other talking point that's been lighting up the Celtic world today. Is Georgios Giakoumakis posted an Instagram story where he had a picture of him from last night and the wee hourglass emoji, and no words on it, so people are sort of reading into it what they want to read into it. There's obviously been a few rumours lately that contract talks have failed and that he might be on the way out. What's your thoughts on the situation, and do you think that story is maybe leading you to think that something might be in the offing about him leaving?
He's a big Jesse, and he should probably leave if that's got to be his attitude. No idea where his attitude's coming from. And, you know, we're talking about a guy that's a very, very good footballer. It's very effective for Celtic. He scored a lot of goals for us in this short, limited time that he's been here. He's 18 months into a 5-year deal. I get why we're offering him a new contract on better terms and stuff, and maybe we've not been as generous as he would have liked, and he stalled and he wants to move. That's fair enough. If he wants to move to a big club, a bigger league, that's fair enough. But the way I mean, you'd have thought Larson had put a transfer request in. You would have thought that it was Kyogo getting the nod or Jimmy McGrory, the way some of the fans have been going on recently. Kyogo was with our goal scorer last time. Look, they scored the winner last night, last time I checked. You get absolutely no idea. There's this thing about the two of them. I mean, we could probably improve on both strikers that we've got, if we're being honest. But it's no, we're no losing. We've lost one game this season in the league. We've no, apart from the Champions League, where we were creating chances, no scoring. We don't lose games because we suffer for a lack of goals. It's not as if, like, we're just ignoring Giakoumakis. He plays most weeks. He plays every week. He usually gets like half an hour, but he only got about 8 minutes last night. So 15 if you count stoppage time. But you've got folk on Twitter saying, "Oh, you know, if he wants to leave, you couldn't really blame him." And you know, the manager's picking his favourites for him. No, the manager's picking his top goal scorer, who scored something like 15 goals in 20 games or something like that. So it's been weirdly blown out of proportion, and I've got no doubt that Giakoumakis is watching this. He's probably reading wee guys' messages to him on Instagram, and he's probably thinking that he can either force a move or force his way into the team on social media. Like, Tony got it right when he tweeted earlier. It's completely ill-advised, and you know, it's a stupid thing to do with it. I mean, they might come and say, "Oh no, it's just, I mean, it's time to go," or whatever. It's, you know, I can't wait to get on the park and score or whatever. I don't know, but it's just like these cryptic things. It's never really the way you go about it. I mean, compare and contrast to the abuse that Juranovic was getting during the World Cup, because Fabrizio Romano tweeted that people want to sign him and that he's expected Celtic are trying to move him on. And you know, you'd make it as if like Juranovic had signed for Rangers the way some of the comments were going. So I really don't get our support, especially our online support at times. And it's people are just, I'm not going to name him at that point in particular, but he was getting on my back this morning. I kept seeing his tweets posted everywhere about Giakoumakis, but it was like a highlight vintage of all his goals. It's like, he's missed two games since coming back. He's hardly like been transfer listed. And, you know, and you say that he said, if players want to play, they'll play. And he's, you know, rejected, by all accounts, he rejected a contract offer which is completely his right today. But at the same point, Celtic have got all the power here. He's 18 months into a four-year deal. I think there's an option, Celtic's option for another year. He's the one that's getting older. Celtic can hold on to him. Celtic will make a profit on him, whether they sell him this year or next year. So maybe Jack Yamata should just concentrate on A, getting his sale back on the park and putting the ball in the net, because and he had a very good October for us. And I know he scored in the Champions League, but yeah, to see him actually go on a run of form this year, and I know it's probably my fault because I've backed him to be top goal scorer, but he's currently letting down a very good treble I've got on. So if he's looking for sympathy, ask me. He's going to be waiting for a while.
Aye, I'm with you. I'm just sort of... I'm tired of it already, and like it does seem like there is a lot of truth in the rumours, and if that's the case, it's sad because obviously he's only joined last year, and I just don't understand if he's that unhappy with the contract he signed, then why was there nothing, why did he not build it into it that if he hit a certain amount of goals that it would just automatically give him a certain percentage of a wage increase or that, and Celtic aren't really in a position. I know like the bank balance is always good, but like we're not in a position to be held to ransom with players, and especially a 28-year-old striker who missed half the season last season through injury, and as I say, he's only just over 12 months in the door, and it's one, like, he's, as I say, he's 28. It's like, if you, how much can you really justify giving him a big 4 or 5 year deal, especially when, as you say, we've already got him on that sort of length of contract with an option as well. And as you say, it's Kyogo and the joint top scorer in the league as well. And as you say, scored the winner. And it's just like, it's, I think it's just a mere element to the Twitter support layer. It's just, there seems to be, you have to like one and you can't like the other. And you can't just like both. Because I'm, see, I love Kyogo and I love Jackie Marcus as well. I wish he would, he does stay, but I probably agree with what Danny says, where he probably could upgrade on both, and we probably do need to if you're going to sort of progress in Europe especially. But I think it stinks, and like hopefully it's sorted either way, because I think we've seen last season with Ange, with boys like Ben Doak and that, who possibly made it clear that they didn't want to commit to the long-term future of Celtic. I think a player like Jack and Max will probably be no different to that. I think Ange's, what you see is what you get. If he's telling you that if you don't want to be here, then you're not going to be as much of a part of the first team as you would maybe want. And I think that's been overlooked as well. Jacky Max came on last night, it was terrible. His first touch was like abysmal, and like, he was brought on to see out the game, maybe get another goal, but I thought he was really poor. And I know it's a short period of time to judge him on, but he came off the bench and didn't make an impact. So if Kyogo starts again on Saturday, then that's because Kyogo's there and he's scoring and he's getting on the end of things, and Jack and Marcus just is there, and hopefully we can, as I say, sort it either way. But Tony, I'll bring you in on it just to wrap up on this sort of Jack and Marcus thing. As Danny said, you says it's ill advice, or anything else you want to add about it?
I basically made a sarcastic comment saying that cryptic tweets is a well-known method of solving problems, which means would nobody gain to this apart from the fans in disarray. Know that it takes months to put our online fans in total disarray, fucking compilation videos of all his goals and just total shite. I mean, I like Jacky Marcus a lot, big fan of him. I think he's been really important under Ange. He's come out with some fantastic goals, even with limited game time. I think he's done great. I hope we keep him. I hope the issue can be resolved. But if he moves on, then fine. Is this kind of case again where there's a big drama whenever Celtic are thinking of moving on a player? You've seen a lot of stuff about Juranovic as well, even last month, or Ralston's better than him just because he wants to leave. People are allowed to leave. I think we need to accept that there's other clubs out there where players can go to and probably achieve ambitions that we carry for them, and that's fine. It's due to the standard of the league we play in. We can't change that. But I'm not a fan of it at all. It's a wee timer. It's as if, why is the manager taking so long to bring me on? I think it doesn't benefit anybody. It just causes issues. There's no need for it. It's really daft. I mean, no doubt somebody will come out and defend it, or maybe the player will be told to take it down or whatever. But it looks quite clear, I think, that it's about the game time he's got. So, I mean, we're only two games back. I mean, I would be pretty sure if he didn't put that up, he was probably being in contention to start against St Johnstone. We're going to need a squad. It's again, it's three games in the space of kind of a short period of time. So, I mean, we're nine clear. We don't need any negativity. We're in a really good position. But I think we'll be looking at a striker either way. I did say the last pod I'd give them both another shot at the Champions League, but if we can upgrade on them, then absolutely. I think the thing is, we've had such a high quality of striker over the years. I mean, even recently, Moussa Dembele, tremendous. Odson Edouard, I loved. I thought he was such a talented player, and on his day, he was just an absolute pleasure to watch. Even, I don't know what you said, but even Griffiths on his day was an excellent finisher. So I feel Kyogo just, he seems to miss a hell of a lot of chances, and I just hope that can improve. But I mean, yesterday he went through again and just had to write after keeper. I mean, I don't know if he's maybe lost a bit of pace or whatever. I mean, or just a bit of instinct just to dink it over and things like that. But I don't want to say Giakoumakis was terrible. He didn't get a lot of game time. I didn't really notice anybody's performance yesterday and think they were really good or really bad. I just thought it was very similar to the D-United game where we conceded late on but still get the win. It was just really, it's a tough game against a team that set up well. But I think we knew that Martindale would do that. And we don't often batter Livingston, and this was another game where we kind of failed to do so. But the 3 points were the main thing. But if Giakoumakis wants to leave and we get a good offer in for him, then he should go. If we can meet his terms and he wants to say, good, stop posting garbage on social media and become a team player, it's not all about you. And I'm sure Juranovic will leave. And again, Neil will towards him. If he does, he's going to make us a massive profit. Hopefully it's reinvested into players Ange wants. And he played a massive role in his winning the double last year. So yeah, there could be a lot of hysteria online. And it's just shite. And it's just, well, let's just kind of wait and see. Let's know. Just have a go at Kyogo, because Giakoumakis is throwing his toys at the pram. There seems to be a bad Kyogo v Giakoumakis war that's debated weekly, and two completely different players and two assets that want to do well for Celtic and have done well for Celtic. So I'm kind of repeating myself on these things whenever we talk about them. But no, I wish he'd never put that on Instagram, but we're in a good position all the same. I doubt we'll lose any sleep over it, and I doubt the managers will lose any sleep either.
And they'll just bring you in. We'll lead on to the St Johnstone game. You can add anything about Giakoumakis if you want, and I'll start off by asking you, well, would you play him on Saturday, and what's your thoughts on Saturday in general?
Similar to what Tony said, to be honest, in terms of if not for that post, I mean, I would have started him on Saturday, but I think he's probably sort of scuppered any chance of that happening. I mean, granted, that's without no one or claiming anything that's going on in the background. I don't know. There could be any number of reasons which would rule that out. But prior to that, I was probably fancying his chances to get a start. It's just fucking nonsense, isn't it? I've seen that a few years earlier. It's probably the first time we've seen something like this under the manager. So interesting to see what happens the next couple of days and how it unravels. There's obviously been a lot of talk about another player, another striker coming in. I know the boy from South Korea, Cho, that played up front, played the World Cup, has been heavily linked. A few journalists have been out talking about him. I don't know if maybe that's had a part to play. I really don't know. But it has just been a breakdown in talks which has caused it and sort of maybe filtered through to him coming on. But again, I think it was strange. I think what did they have? Like 8 minutes or something that he came on for? And again, Aberdeen, I think he only came on for maybe 15 minutes or so. Maybe talking shite there, but I feel like it wasn't long he was on for that against Aberdeen either. Because I initially thought he would have come on with the wee chunk of subs just before him, Haksabanovic and Tumbo. I thought run about then, because Kyogo had just been booked as well. I thought it was then he was going to come on, but obviously that waited out to the end of the game. So I don't know. It's stupid. He's probably been ill-advised. Could be a fucking pricky an agent, you don't really know. I guess we'll find out more in the coming days. But as I said it before, look, I think in terms of the strikers, I like the both of them. I think they both offer something different. I'd say to you before getting into the game against Rangers at Ibrox that if both were sort of fit, and I'd have been looking to start Jacky Marcus before all this. I think he would be a better option to play gone there. But I think he's scuppered any chance of that. I don't know what's happening. But in terms of both of the strikers, I do think that they can both be improved on. I think even in form, sort of chances are often missed, and there is better options, and I've no doubt that we can find them. As good as I think they both are, I must say that. They score a lot of goals. They won us the league last year. Probably unlucky for both of them not to have a goal in the Champions League this year, but I do think that, and I think the manager's made the point, Nabdy and the team's probably outside of Callum McGregor's sort of can be ruled out of being sold at any point. And I don't, again, with the Juranovic one, just to touch on that as well, I don't think that's something to then hod against them. As a player, like they come here with the understanding that'll come for the club, that it's a stepping stone. I think we've been here long enough. People just seem to take the huff when any player gets a chance to move on. And as has been mentioned, guys that like Jacky Marcus and Juranovic's ages will get one more big move in them, and it'll make the club money, and we'll go out. And like you say, if you go out and if we went out and sold Jacky Marcus and brought in the boy from South Korea, I'd be happy with it. And I would trust in the manager that he thinks the club's improving by doing that. So I wouldn't suddenly turn around and start calling him for everything. The post immature, I think he's been ill-advised, but it's one of these things. And I, just to correct Jacky Marcus, did score one in the Champions League. But on the game itself, coming into, you want a prediction or no, Dan, or just thoughts getting into it?
I go for it. We're rambling on a bit, so I'm sure we'll...
I agree, it's a Johnston game. Obviously, I think it will be a tough test. I don't think they've lost in the past six games. They've beat the Rangers, recently beat Ross County as well. So they'll be confident of coming in and testing us, given that we've not scored a lot of goals. Livingston, on another day, might have got a late penalty or a late set piece and gave them a chance. So they'll be looking at that and try to replicate what Livingston done in that game. But hopefully it's another one similar to the game previously to the 2-1. Hopefully it's similar to the St Johnstone 7-0 game where we battered them. I think that's what we all want to see, and we would all like to see is really pick up the form. But in terms of prediction, Dan, I'm going to go 3-0. I don't think it'll be as heavy scoring as the last time we played them at home, but I'm going to go for 3-0, and I think Kyogo will be back in the score sheet. I think Jota will get a goal, and Matt O'Reilly will be the scorers for the game.
I definitely would take that. Danny, what are you thinking for Saturday? Obviously, Celtic will be looking to gift the fans our 3 points on Christmas Eve. What do you think? It will be a straightforward encounter?
Yes, I think it will be. I think we'll get another 3 points. And to answer to your earlier question to Andy, I would play Jacky Marcus, but it's purely because, as I said, he's letting down a very good goal scorer treble that I've got on. But I think it'll be comfortable. St Johnstone are not a bad team. Beat a few teams recently. But I would expect us to be right up for it. Christmas Eve, Parkhead will be a good crowd. Like last night, I think a lot of folk have missed getting to the football, so they'll be looking forward to the game. And I think it will be 3 points. And I expect whoever starts up front for Celtic, I expect them to score two. Matt O'Reilly will get his first goal of the season as well. I think it'll be 4-0. And my Christmas will be complete when Greg Taylor scores the fourth.
Again, would be very welcome. But I think it'll be 2-0 Celtic. I think it'll be pretty similar to last night. I don't think St Johnstone are the worst team in the league. I think Kyogo will start. I don't even think Jacky Marcus will be in the squad. There you go. And I think Dyson Maeda will come off the bench to get the second goal, and it'll be 2-0 Celtic as they maintain or extend the lead at the top of the table. Tony, what's your prediction?
I'll go same as you, 2-0 Celtic, and I'll go for a Rioho Hatate double based in nothing. Just sometimes I like to go for a daft one. So I reckon Hatate 2-0, and we'll maintain our 9-point lead
at the top of the table. But if we can go further ahead, that would be most welcome. But as long as we win, I think it'll be a good Christmas for all.
Yep, and on that note, we will just wrap up there and wish you all a very happy Christmas and hope you enjoy it wherever you are. Thanks again for listening to us all this year, and as the year draws to a close, we will be back. I don't know, we'll see how the festive period goes. Some of these boys go a bit AWOL at Christmas time. I'm not talking about Andy, but if you want to take that assumption, you can. So we'll be back at some point next week. If not before Easter Road, we'll be... All four of us will be at Easter Road next week, actually. So maybe they, inspired by Juddy Talks, we'll get a wee vlog on the go. It's a joke. We don't worry, we won't do that. But aye, we will speak to you next week at some point. Happy Christmas and God bless you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.